Hello and welcome to the Track Talk podcast. We are back after, it feels like ages since I've been on the podcast for some reason, but we are back to discuss China. I'm joined by Jay and Shah. How are you guys?
Do you know what, Dan? It's been ages and I feel like I didn't really help to the wait for a Track Talk recording because for the last about half hour or so, I've had some technological differences. I'm trying to make it work. I'm currently mic-less. And I'm talking to you through the I've got a microphone. I haven't got the normal microphone, so if I sound a bit dodgy, then please accept my apologies. But I'm here, I'm trying my best, I'm going to make it work for the Track Talk podcast. So apologies to the listeners, apologies to Dan and Charlotte, and I will try and not talk as much today, maybe.
Fair.
So long-winded and nothing to do with cars. I love that. I'm good. I've missed you boys. But I'm very happy that we're back to talk about what we love most collectively, and that is Formula One. And we finally had the Chinese Grand Prix after 5 years.
We did. It was back. I like that circuit. I'm going to be honest, I don't think that race will stay in my memory for that long. But I do like the track. I think there were definitely good parts of it. The sprint race was okay. I think the sprint race was actually pretty decent. The sprint races go. Qualifying was very good. Both stakes got into Q3 or SQ3. I'm very proud of them. And Joe at his home race was nice.
So, I don't want to be a bit of a Debbie Downer, but I want to start this on a bit of a note. Do you know what, right? I love China. I love the track. I think really good track. I have an issue with them putting that little parking spot for Zhou on the grid.
That was wholesome, man. That was after the race, wasn't it? That was wholesome.
Mate, come on, mate. We might as well put him on the podium as well while we're at it. Jesus.
Oh, that was wholesome, though. He was nearly in tears, and you're here going, oh, what a waste.
What a waste. I mean, imagine if every single home track they've done that. They just said, yeah, you're on the pit straight because you're from that country. Imagine we went to what's somewhere really random, Australia, Daniel Ricciardo getting that privilege. Dan, I know you would hate that as well. So
how is that
yeah
random?
That's just because Daniel Ricciardo would never ever be there on merit. That's what I'm trying to say. So I've got more Daniel Ricciardo slander for later on in this episode.
it's loading. I don't know. I quite liked it. I thought it was quite cute, especially because they waited so long for a Chinese Grand Prix. They waited so long for a Chinese driver. So for Zhou to, albeit the race he had was terrible, but to be able to say hi to the fans was nice. And his SQ3 appearance was nice as well. Bear in mind, he's been out in Q1 in every single thing this season. It was nice for him to finally get into the top 10, albeit not in actual qualifying.
It was nice.
But no, say more than that, sorry.
No, because I don't seem like I'm just an absolute
hate,
you know, negative Nancy.
Oh, it's too late for that.
I like Joe. I just don't like parking spots on the grid if you're not a top three driver.
I thought it was so sweet seeing the crowd really cheer him on, and you could hear every time he went past like the main grandstand on the start finish straight, and he'd be cheered along even when he's battling for last, for penultimate place, like wherever it was with all the retirements. I just thought, honestly, that was so sweet, and it's very heartwarming because obviously, you know, he hasn't had the most luck, and he's not like, you know, a driver that's getting podiums and getting up in the top 10 frequently. So I think to see crowd really be behind someone like that, I think that's just, it just really melted my heart.
I thought it was nice. I wasn't going to mention this yet, but you mentioned battling for last place. It reminded me of it. That Magnussen-Lance Stroll battle, by the way. Oh, give me more of that. Actually, some racing, even though it was like 16th. I don't care. It was brilliant racing. We don't get a battle for P1. So the fact that the TV cameras actually focused on that for a while, and it was a good battle. It was good to see through two drivers that aren't normally that great wheel-to-wheel, but they managed it. Well, Stroll managed it for a bit anyway and then ruined it later on. But that's not the point. The battle was good.
You say that they're not good at wheel-to-wheel racing. They literally proved it earlier on in the race. Where Stroll decided to just not brake and smash into Ricciardo.
Yeah. But ignoring that.
Magnussen, Magneton hit Tsunoda, I want to say, or he definitely hit someone. He tagged someone.
Yeah, it was Yuki.
Was it Yuki? Yeah. So it's basically just a battle between who hates RB the most.
True. Oh,
they just don't like that name. That's what it is. They probably don't like the name. Me neither, to be fair. If I was an F1, I'd do the same.
Well, all right. I enjoyed it anyway. I enjoyed the battle.
It was a good battle. Sorry, that I thought you were moving on, and I just wanted
you
to
can,
agree.
You can talk about the battle.
No, I mean very briefly. It was really good, and it was actually quite nice to see both drivers give each other room. They gave each other respect, and it was really good hard racing. It, like the boys have said, it just went all wrong later.
It did. Anyway, before we get to that, I want to talk about Ferrari. I want to talk about Ferrari. They announced before the season that Carlos Sainz was being moved on to be replaced by Lewis Hamilton. Carlos Sainz has driven very, very well, in my opinion, this season. The Chinese Grand Prix probably wasn't his best weekend of the season, but he's driven brilliantly. Charles Leclerc was not happy at him. He was like, oh, Sainz is battling harder with me than he is with anyone else. Has Sainz just sort of gone all guns blazing now and he's gone, oh, I'm not here next year. I may as well give it everything this year. Do you think this could be a bit of a running thing for the rest of this year with Sainz really getting into Charles Leclerc?
You know, let me take you back. Do you remember year six, right? Or year six, and you've done your, was it SATs or whatever you've done, Dan?
It's only about 2 years ago for me.
Yeah. My was different from when me and Char went. But between the finishing SATs, there's like a month left of school. Oh, I mean, we're a bit older than Dan, aren't we? So
I'm joking.
There was always like that time.
Not to
where
the point
just
the whole school system changed.
Yeah. I don't know. You never know. I mean, I didn't do AS levels. And I was the first year to do them. And Charles only a year older than me. So
I was the last year.
There you go.
I didn't do AS levels. Yeah.
Yeah, but Charles would have done. So, you know, like, even though. See? So, anyway, this is nothing to do with what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that between the end of SATs and the end of finishing school, everyone knew they were leaving the school, going on to secondary school. So a couple of kids were getting a bit naughty. I feel like that's what Sainz is doing, because was it the sprint or was it the main race where he sort of pushed him off at the hairpin?
The sprint.
I think.
In the sprint, and I thought that was a bit cheeky. But Sainz doesn't care. He's not there next year. He's going on to secondary school next year. Where he goes, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know what I mean? He's tapped out for the year. He's checked out. He's just there to go to school, play with his mates in the playground, have a bit of fun. Do you know what I mean? Probably take an extra bit of pudding from the cafeteria. And off he goes into the sunset, mate. He doesn't care.
I mean, yes, in regards to what you're saying, but at the same time, he's also still fighting for a seat, no?
He is, but he doesn't care in terms of Charles. Maybe like a couple of years ago when he was trying to prove himself to Ferrari, he might have given Charles a bit more of room, but now he can race him harder than anyone because there's not really going to be any consequence. They're not going to replace him this season.
Do you think that it gets to the point, though, where he could do more harm than good for himself? Okay, he goes all guns blazing at Leclerc. He beats Leclerc. He races like almost like an old era of Verstappen, in the sense of he just doesn't care. He's going for moves, that kind of thing. Do you think, then, if Red Bull are looking at it and they've already got Max, do they want Sainz to partner Max? Mercedes are looking, do they want Sainz to partner Russell? They look at then this guy that maybe doesn't always play the team game, and therefore they go, ooh, not so sure about him, especially Red Bull with Max Verstappen, because, you know, they want him to win. Mercedes realistically will probably want George Russell to win because they're, you know, they're the people of the team that have been there for years. Does Sainz overdo it? I mean, I love Carlo. I think he's so underrated, but can he overdo it?
I don't think so. And I think in the sense he's doing this now after having been replaced. He wasn't like this, if I'm honest, ever. I'm trying to think back. He wasn't like that like in the last couple of years at Ferrari before this year. He wasn't like that with Lando at McLaren. I don't think he was like that at Toro Rosso with Verstappen. So I think it would be a bit unfair if the teams just judged him in that sense, just being like, oh, well, he's not a team player then, because I think that's really not the case. And I think he's shown how much of a team player he has been at Ferrari in the last few years. And I just think, in general, it just shows how good of a racer he is, because although, yes, he did kind of give Charles no room and like shunt him off in that hairpin, but in the same respect, it wasn't like completely outrageous, and it wasn't reminding me of the battles with Max and Lewis, where Max is like, I'd rather DNF than like give you the place, is the vibe that it always was. And I think Carlos is doing a really, really good job this year of selling himself. I think he's going to be the one in most demand to get a seat. And I really think he has to go to either Red Bull or Mercedes.
Yeah, fair. Sainz is doing very well. The other thing I wanted to mention on it was, how tenable do you think Perez's position is? Because it works now because of how dominant that car is. But there's times in that race he was lapping 6, 7, 8 tenths slower than Max. And if there's any car near Red Bull, that is not going to work to win you a Constructors' Championship. So, you know, is Sainz looking at that quite clearly and going, oh, there's going to be an opening there, surely?
Surely his vision is untenable. He lost to Norris. I mean, I know safety car kind of screwed him, but Verstappen was well clear of Norris. We look at the sprint, Verstappen... he actually gapped Hamilton after overtaking Hamilton. His position is untenable. And the thing with Formula 1 and regulations is that over the years, cars get gradually closer and closer together. It's been like 2017, this big rule regulation, Mercedes were well ahead. By 2021, Red Bull were right there. Red Bull, you know, this period of dominance, thankfully, will be limited. Merck will catch up. Ferrari will catch up. McLaren are probably the closest, maybe. So,
yeah.
When it does get a bit closer, maybe that's next season, maybe that's 2025, before the new engine race comes in 2026, he won't be able to guarantee them that Constructors' Championship. Because if Max does break down, or if he has an off day, which he never seems to do, then it won't be Perez winning. It will be Norris or, I don't know, probably Leclerc or Hamilton at Ferrari.
Wasn't it like out of the last 20 races or something, or 28 races, Max won all of them except two and Sainz won the other two? And you're looking at that thinking, well, where's Perez?
That's criminal. That is criminal. Let's be real, it's criminal.
But as well, like yesterday, the safety car, you know, he pitted to get fresher tyres to battle against Norris for P2. But he didn't, he struggled to overtake Leclerc, and then he wasn't lapping quick enough to catch Norris, and then I think Norris was then lapping faster and as well then creating a larger gap. So if he had, as you would assume, same pace as Max, who was literally gaining almost like 2 seconds a lap on everyone, Sergio should be doing the same similar thing. And it's like, so it shows how amazing Lando did in the McLaren, but at the same time, it's like, Sergio, you should be P2 with underneath
him. Before we move on, quick question. If you used to put all the drivers in a list from best to worst, what do you think Perez would be?
Crikey, now you're testing me.
I feel like I used to be so much more of a cheerleader before we went to Red Bull. We saw some incredible drives. Like, I will always think of Sakir. What year was that? 2020?
Yeah.
When he was last and then won it in a Racing Point. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I want to see. We don't ever see that anymore, I feel, from him.
So is it a case of that Red Bull making him look a lot worse than he is, or is he just not up to it? Because if I was to rank him, I'd put him like 8th.
I mean, yeah, I've just looked at the drivers and I can think of 7, or I've looked at 7 that I think are unarguably better than Perez, as it seems right now. And then you could probably push it to 9 or 10 if you wanted to fight, like, is even Piastri there? But
yeah, because I'm looking at
names. Verstappen, Leclerc, Sainz, Russell, Hamilton, Alonso, they're all definitely better than Sergio Perez, as it seems right now. Norris. Piastri's maybe, you know, borderline. I think Ocon was even close until he drove a tractor this year.
Gasly's there.
You're even looking at Albon, though, and being like, you know, would he be worse than Perez?
So this is the tough thing, isn't it, though?
But then
maybe Perez is just competent.
When Bottas was at Merck, he sort of went through this, and it's like, you know, maybe it is just a case of your teammate's the best driver at the time. What can you do?
Yeah.
But I feel like Perez has made it look worse than Bottas ever did, but I don't know if I'm biased.
But, I mean, Dan, what was the stat you said before? Verstappen had Verstappen and Sainz have won the last, like, 20 yeah. odd races.
I don't know how many it is, but the only ones Verstappen hasn't won, Sainz has won. It's like, yeah. that's nuts.
Would Bottas let that happen? I know he went a whole season without winning, but he did compromise a lot of races so Hamilton could win because there was fighting Vettel.
But then he would I just feel like pole position and stuff, wouldn't he?
It did feel like, yeah, it felt like he was there a lot more to mop up pieces than Perez maybe is. Like, Red Bull is so dominant. Have we gone into any weekend this season? I think any of us have put Perez on pole for our predictions. We've always thought, oh, maybe it'll be Sainz or Leclerc or even Lando.
I did this.
They're weekend. In a Red Bull that's so dominant, and we're not really okay. Apart from this, we're not really considering him, though. You said you went last this week, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, like no one's actually considering him as a genuine contender. Whereas at least with what you always thought, at least on Saturday, he's got a bit about him.
I mean, I won't lie. I didn't necessarily want to put him there, but looking at the second Red Bull seat, you would think, well, surely he'll be able to. You know, make some magic. Mm. I mean, he did qualify P2 in actual qualifying, so I wasn't too far off. But against Max, though, I don't think he would have like pipped him, really. Whereas Bottas and Hamilton, Bottas would, wouldn't he? He actually could pip Hamilton.
Cool. It's a tough one. It's a tough one, but I guess to circle back, I can't see a world where they keep him next season.
I think they would have to be so confident in their car in order to even debate keeping him. And can you be that confident? I don't know. I suppose I think Lewis must know something about Ferrari in order for him to move there.
Yeah, well, sure.
Maybe he's
worried.
No, yeah. I'm thinking. No, well, Ferrari in general are, I would say, better than Merck right now.
Oh, yeah, Merck.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happened.
And Lewis is saying how there's so many difficulties in that car. And at one point, he was behind, I believe, Esteban Ocon, and he said how he literally had no pace, he couldn't overtake. And I'm like, you can't overtake the tractor on this year's grid. That was worrying me. Like, yeah.
It always seems like as well, Lewis is like trying to make up for the Merc being bad. And he's like, oh, I tried something different, got it wrong. But how'd you keep getting it wrong? Like eventually, surely you try a setup that works. But it seems every week he's trying a different one. And every single week, it's the wrong one.
Maybe there just isn't a right
setup. I think
he's
just done with Merc, isn't he, realistically.
Yeah.
I think he's just done, which is understandable. Anyway, let's talk about Daniel Ricciardo. He DNF'd from the race this weekend. He was fuming at Lance Stroll.
Yes.
Jay, I'm not even going to say what. Please, take the floor. What are you going to say?
Do you know what, right? Shaw and I spoke after, was it Australia, Shaw?
Yes.
Yeah, after Australia.
I'm really worried right now.
And no, I just brought up, because I had a couple of issues.
I don't know what he's going to say.
No.
Of issues with Ricciardo and his performance relative to Tsunoda. Look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, right? Back then, I said that he is as far from Tsunoda as Nick De Vries was last year.
Oh, yes, I remember.
And this
I'm pretty sure you backed that up with statistics as well, didn't you?
I did as well.
I remember listening back, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't just capping. I wasn't just making it up. Like, this was generally verified by statistics. look, I know he out-qualified Tsunoda this weekend, and the crash wasn't his fault, but he still ended up behind a safety car. And he's got a three-place grid penalty for Miami. This is a man who's been in Formula One since before Dan was born. He's been around the block for a while. Yeah.
Not quite, but yeah.
And I just feel like he's. This is a team that's meant to nurture talent. And he's not talent that is nurturing at the end of the day, is it? He's not really doing anything there. Put Lawson in. Just put Lawson in. It's just a no-brainer. Lawson last year, look, I know. Small sample size, one race, 1 point scoring finish. But he's a young driver. He's got a lot of potential. He's got a high ceiling. Why are they sticking with a, I don't know how old he is, 33-year-old driver? when you've got a young buck waiting in the wings, they're free. They gave him 9 races or so. He's 28, so he's fairly old in racing driver terms. And they chucked him out, and that was his first half season in Formula One. This guy's had how many seasons in Formula One? He's not up to the level that is required to be in a midfield team, I think, for one. And for two, he's too old to be in a team that's about nurturing talent. So maybe you stick him in the Williams with Albon, bit of experience, he can sell T-shirts, and Albon's your number one guy. But I just think his position at RB, if he makes it to summer, to Spa, whatever it is nowadays, then I'm going to be having strong words with Helmut Marko and Lauren Rossi. Is it Lauren Rossi? Who's there now, Dan?
Lauren McKees.
I'm going crazy. Because any other driver, they'd kick him out. But because he sells T-shirts, in my opinion, he sticks around.
I agree. I think it's like if a football club signs a player and they send them out on loan because their main striker's got a year left and he needs replacing, and he goes out on loan and he absolutely stinks the place out and he's terrible, and then they go, oh, now we can't replace the main striker with him because he's not good enough. He's there. Red Bull wanted him in that Red Bull as soon as Perez leaves. Realistically, I think that's exactly what they wanted, and they can't do it because he's worse than Yuki this season. He is great, and he does sell T-shirts, and he smiles a lot, and he's nice. But, and he's a nice guy, but he's not performing on track, and ultimately that's what matters. And when you've seen the driver program of Red Bull be as ruthless as they are, I don't know, does the ruthlessness apply to Ricciardo, who's, you know, ultimately he's still sort of their golden boy. I think ever since he left Red Bull have wanted him back in a Red Bull. But he didn't show it at Renault. He didn't show it at McLaren. He's come back because he performed well in one test around Silverstone, and now he's not showing it in an RB either. How many chances do you get?
Sorry, Char. Before you come in as well, I've got serious problems with that test because they were saying he was on pace with Verstappen. What were they talking about? Verstappen and the Toro Rosso? Because he's not on pace with Tsunoda.
Verstappen ran a lap.
He's not there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he was so angry after the race because he knows his seat's under threat. So any DNF for him is like, you know, it is bad. And I don't even know, what are the standings this year? Hang on, let's get the standings up.
Isn't he 5.15 on BBC One?
What?
What?
He's pointless, isn't he?
Oh,
I see. He is. Wow. He is pointless, yeah. He is pointless. And Yuki has 7 points.
Yeah,
he is 7
go.
Points behind Yuki. So, in fact, I didn't realise he's got no points. That's bad.
It's bad, isn't it?
The only drivers behind him are in tractors.
You know what, Dan, though? I feel like we've had our time, so we need to give the defence an opportunity to speak.
Oh, I hope this lawyer's good.
Yeah, she needs to be top tier.
Yeah, we need like Johnny Depp's lawyer.
I actually don't know what to say. I honestly,
God, thank God, Charlotte doesn't represent me.
I actually feel speechless about what you both said because I can't argue with it, and I think I'm taken aback by the passion, I think, in Jay's voice, which I didn't expect. Look, he's not doing well. And I'm really struggling for words right now. on the last podcast, I was effectively agreeing with Jay, and I still do. Do I think that yesterday's incident was his fault? No. So that's my thing that I'd like to say. And I think he was right to be pissed off because he was taken out of the race, especially right by a safety car, which could have given him, you know, with the restart, an opportunity to potentially get higher up on the grid. So, yeah. And he was on a different strategy to Yuki, so he was ahead, he had fresher tyres, and I think in that sense it was kind of going well, and then just Lance decided to blame him, which is then what angered Ricciardo. In regards to his seat, I honestly don't know what to say. I was shocked when he was being kept on, if I'm honest, because obviously their plan is to put him in Red Bull, but I still didn't really see it because he hasn't been performing, and he hasn't been performing for years. I know he won the, you know, he won in Monza. I don't know. There's maybe I'm in that camp with Red Bull still, where you think back to the good old days, maybe, and you think maybe there is that glimmer of hope still, you know, still going for him. But I don't know what to say, because I think Liam Lawson does deserve a seat and he should be there.
It's not even close. I mean, I think there's several drivers that are very much underperforming this year, and I think Lance Stroll is also one of those drivers. Obviously, the other one that was involved in the whole thing, but again, when isn't Stroll underperforming recently? But it, for a team that, you know, is a junior team, no. Why is he there? What's he doing? What's the point?
Thank you. They've stuck a 33-year-old in an under-18s team. And he's not performing.
And he's not even coming back from injury. He's there on supposed merit.
Well, you know, like Phil Jones is at Man United still. This is giving major Phil Jones vibes.
He's a bit, isn't it? Like Johnny Evans, he's back.
But he's half decent, Johnny Evans.
Yeah, but anyway, that's off topic.
I would like to move on.
Okay, we'll move on. I want to talk about a moment of the race, which one specific moment, and that was Fernando Alonso pulling off save of the century when he dipped a wheel in the gravel and somehow kept it facing the right way and lost literally no time to the car in front of him.
Yeah.
He's like 43, but wow, he's doing just unreal. He's not slowing down. Those reflexes were crazy.
Yeah. Well, do you know, earlier on we were saying about where do we put Perez? Is Alonso a top three driver still at his grand age of 43? Is he in the top three in terms of ability on this grid?
Top five.
Go on, give me four drivers better than him.
Well, I think Verstappen is better than him.
Yeah.
Fair. Can't
I think it's hard to say definitely. I think the only definite one is Verstappen, but then you could argue Leclerc, Sainz, you still have to put Hamilton in there. A very, very, very similar at the moment. It's tricky. It's tricky. I don't know if you can comfortably say top three. Maybe you can comfortably say top four. I'm not putting Perez in it. Is he better than Russell? Norris. Is he better than Norris? I really want to see Norris in a race-winning car, because I feel like it's not easy to look good in that McLaren, but because it's not at all. That's not what I'm saying. But I feel like it's so much harder when you are expected to do well. Like if Norris gets on the podium, it's like, wow, a McLaren's on the podium. Whereas when you race for a Red Bull, you know, like Perez is, you're expected to be finishing P2, P3, P1 every week. So I'm intrigued to see if Norris was in that position and had that car, how he'd do. But I think he's unreal. I'm not in any way saying I think he's bad there. Just to confirm that.
Thanks, Dan. I don't know where I would place Alonso, because there's times when, like that save though, literally my heart leapt out of my chest. I gasped and I thought, wait, what? And now he's just driving straight on with his DRS open. I'm like, how are you, what? How did this just happen? I think the problem is with, like, I feel like as well, ranking drivers saying, oh, who's like the top five best drivers? Like, I would still want to put Hamilton up there, but because of the performance of the car and his luck as of late, I just feel like it's too difficult to be like saying, oh, no, well, he's like really far down. Because if you're looking at yesterday's performance, I wouldn't go, oh, Hamilton's a top five driver. But I think he is. Do you know what I mean?
I didn't say that at all.
No, and that's the thing is like, it's so tricky to place them.
But to make the case for Hamilton, in the wet in sprint quali, which is the great equaliser,
he put it
on pole and then ended up P2 due to the whole shenanigans with Norris's lap. I felt like that sort of still showed that he's about.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do think he is. I don't think he's lost it. It's just hard to see that, basically, that performance because of the car. To an extent, and maybe some motivation, but
it must be hard for Lewis, though, mustn't it?
Like, he's been pulling up to race weekends for years now, expecting to be in the fight for a win. And now he's going, fifth would be nice. Like, that must be horrible for him mentally.
The last time he won a race was Saudi 2021.
Yeah,
that is nuts. Honestly, think if he won that season, the championship in Abu Dhabi, he would not still be around. He wouldn't put up with.
No, I agree.
Yeah,
completely agree.
Can I ask a question to the group? Sorry, before we, I'm going to guess that you're going to do predictions.
Go for it. I wasn't, but go for it.
Okay. Well, ignore what I just said there then. My question to you is has China, which we all, well, Dan and I said, I don't know if you agree, Shah, that it's a good circuit, is it being let down by Formula One a bit? Because I'm thinking of some of the good tracks on the calendar. Japan, we went to a couple weeks ago, somewhat boring race, but an amazing track. Spa, I can't remember the last time I saw a good Belgian Grand Prix, amazing track. Is it being let down a bit by Formula One? Because I think it's a really good circuit, but the last two races there, in terms of yesterday and 2019, which was the 1000th anniversary race, and that was absolute snooze fest. Is F1 letting down the really good tracks on the calendar? It maybe makes it easier to bin them off in favour of, I don't know, circuits which aren't as good but are in glamorous locations.
I don't think it's the track, though. I think the only thing letting F1 down at the moment is just the lack of P1 battle, because the battles everywhere else are really good. The podium is completely different every week. It is literally just a case of, oh, Max has won again. That's just Red Bull being good. You can't take it away from them. But I don't think it's the circuit so much. I think you could go anywhere at the moment and it'd be terrible. Like, were there any street races last year that were Singapore. Amazing? Vegas maybe was all right.
Vegas was Singapore.
Singapore's been on the calendar for quite a few years. It's not like that's a brand new, you know, less chance or arm sort of thing. I don't know. I mean, it all is missing, because I say the podium battle is great. The points battles are decent. Maybe this season's not quite as good as last season, but the only thing it needs is for Red Bull to be less dominant. But you can't take that away from Red Bull.
Yeah.
Or for Max to leave Red Bull.
I hear that.
I would have to agree. It is literally a case of we were too spoiled with 2021 and we're not seeing battles for the win. And even just Max having to come in and pit and then he had to get back to P1. From P4, there was still that element of, oh, he has to catch these people, but then he just passed them with ease, obviously.
Because Crofty was proper hype in that as well.
I know, but even partly was like believing it, like, yeah, this is kind of exciting now because maybe he won't be first. Like, obviously he will be, but you had that like glimmer of hope, and just that in itself was slightly more exciting. And the same with like the sprint race, he wasn't P1, he was P4, and then Norris and Ham decided to have a bit too much fun together. So I think, I don't know how, but as long as we can try and have more battles for the win, I think that's what will make any track so much better.
Let's just race around Singapore every week. That was the only one Red Bull didn't dominate.
I would love that.
Jay would love that. But then Red Bull would find a way. Adrian Newey would figure something out and they'd be dominating by week three. Around Singapore, so you know, I don't know. I will move on to predictions for the sake of time. We've missed a couple of weeks. Shah, you won Australia that you two did, which I don't want to talk about because I'm fuming about it.
Oh, Dan, get over it, man.
I was robbed.
So last month, Dan. So last month.
You won Japan. Just. We can VAR this after the podcast if you want. Yeah. You can confirm. You can confirm that after we finish recording. I will let you confirm it, but I did. So we'll just do, for the sake of time, we will just do China, but I will let you check Japan. Do not worry. I went first this week. On pole, I said Max Verstappen would be on pole. And
boring.
I'm not going to lie, I pooed myself after Friday, but he was on pole. So that was good. Or after sprint, sorry, but he was on pole.
Well done, Dan. Well done. I put Lando Norris on pole.
Not a bad shout.
Sergio Perez. Which wasn't a bad shout either, thank you very much. He came P2.
No, P2.
You're hyping P2. Jay's close. Norris one. Come on, Dan.
Well, Norris got half a pole.
Yeah.
But no, that's the closest Perez has got for a while.
Yeah, well,
and Norris is just quite a good looking guy. So he got rated more.
All the time.
Podium, I had a bit of a stinker here. I said Max, Sainz, Leclerc.
Sprint winner,
oh,
no?
Hello. Oh, yeah, we can do that first. I said Verstappen. Oh, I've got a point for that. Yeah, glad you mentioned that, Shaw.
What a guess. To be fair, if you go first during a sprint week, it's just guaranteed about a point, basically. Shaw's next. Shaw's next up to go first in Miami. So well done, Shaw.
Woo!
I'm getting three predictions right. I put Norris, and he's on pole, and then he just got lost in the first corner. So.
And I put Hamilton because I was like, go on, let's just wish for it. And it wasn't too bad of a shout. But
no,
yeah.
It wasn't awful. Well, I'd say, by the way, you know the 2019 McLaren livery? That looks exactly like this part of my T-shirt. Do you remember that blue triangle?
Yeah, it does.
What?
I've just noticed
what
that.
T-shirt is this?
Vintage.
It's a run I did in Cambridge. But it's got like the little McLaren triangles on it. Not that anyone can see me, but...
It is an orange as well.
I'm dressed as the 2019 McLaren right now. Yeah, that's what it means. All right, yeah, it's great. Anyway, podium.
He's even wearing a helmet, people. He's wearing a helmet whilst doing the podcast.
Don't say we don't.
Today I am Lando. what was I going to say?
Podium.
Yeah, I had a stinker. I said Max, Sainz, Leclerc, and I only got Max. So that's just the 1 point for me.
I had a blinder. I put
nice one.
He's caught up to me already. That's how I got so many Japan points, by the way. I got the podium bang on. But we'll look at that after.
I put Verstappen, Norris, Alonso. So I got two.
Oh, not bad.
Not bad. I'll take it.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Positive surprise. I went full, you know, patriotic for China. I said Zhou Guanyu, and it started really well with an SQ3 appearance, but I don't think I can claim it based on the rest of the weekend.
It's because they put a stupid parking spot on the grid for him.
I also forgot they can't do a pit stop.
Given it to you.
Yeah, I probably might have done. That angered me. Honestly, if you won the race, I would have argued it.
Stupid parking ticket. So no for me.
I actually went for your mate Bottas.
I feel like we can't give it to someone that DNF'd though.
Yeah,
he qualified well, very well actually. He got to Q3 by the way, ladies and gentlemen. He got into normal Q3, thank you.
Didn't
just SQ3. Yeah, normal Q3, give him some credit, but then he DNF'd.
You meant for a positive surprise? Two Q3 places in one weekend?
You can't have it for a DNF.
I didn't know.
But did
that problem? Doesn't want you to get.
Oh, his engine just blew up, didn't it?
It just
stopped. Oh well.
Bloody Alphas, what are they called? Sure.
Kick Salvers. What an awful name as well. You're slagging off the RBs. I hate Kick Salver. My dad even had to go, "What is the K?" I'm like, I know it's Kick. What even is Kick nowadays? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Anyways, I digress. I put Yuki Tsunoda. So.
DNF, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
Someone hit him.
That's a bad positive surprise round.
Right, random finisher prediction was P8 this week. I said Alonso and he was 7th. I was so close, but no point there.
Who was P8? Piastri?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I put George Russell.
I put George Russell as well. That's weird.
Ooh.
Who finished P6?
Controversy.
I didn't know that. Sorry,
if that was right, I'd have been fuming, but it wasn't. bold predictions. My first one was both Saubers get out of Q1. Bottas managed it. They both managed it in the sprint qualifying, but Limin Joe got 16th, so no point there.
It's like Blimmin' Joe. Just like some random geezer on your road. Bloody Joe down the road.
Zhou Guanyu has cost me a point. Two, actually, because he was my positive surprise. Sorry, Jay.
I might need you guys to have a look at this one. Here I put Alonso Lap Stroll, which I don't think he did, but...
Stroll did not finish a lap down.
Well, there you go then.
He was 40 seconds ahead of Lance Stroll, which is definitely not a lap.
Yes.
Apologies, Jay.
Mine really actually has broken my heart because I was so close. I've put Zhou scores points. Now, he was nowhere near in the race, but he was P9 in the sprint.
Ooh. Would that have counted?
I put score points. I never said what.
Score points. You can't be arguing with
that. Top 8 to do that in the sprint? Come on.
Yeah, come on. That's
close.
Can't argue with that.
I'm actually really upset about that because, as well, it just would have been really wholesome for him to have got a point. But oh well, what can you do?
True. Never mind. I said there'd be a red flag in the race, and there wasn't.
There wasn't. No. I put Hamilton sets fastest lap of the race. Who's it fastest lap?
Was
it
Alonso?
Alonso.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. That's cute.
I put for my last one. At least two drivers exceed track limits in the race, giving them penalties, and no one received a penalty for exceeding track limits. So,
which I'm surprised about.
I am honest. As well. Why do they let me down?
In the final corner.
Yeah, just.
There was one other one as well. There was one other turn that they did it a lot.
Is it six?
I didn't even realise until.
Well, because that's what they did with Lando's lap, isn't it? They like deleted it and they were like, oh, he's gained no advantage there at all. It's done the opposite. Have it back.
To be fair, can I actually just make a point about that? That lap must have been so good because he started in the gravel.
He's beat half everyone speed.
Else, so. Yeah, but they're like, oh no, you got an advantage originally.
No, I mean, he's great in the wet. He's always been really good in the wet, in wet conditions, except in Sochi 2021.
Charlotte.
No need. I have a very quick question, and I know we've just finished the predictions, but I've just remembered something. What did we think about the double-waved yellows, which then turned to the VSC like 10 minutes later, which then turned to a safety car? Do we think that that decision was really slow, or was it just me?
No, it was terrible. Race controls had a stinker.
It is. Maybe it's like an entertainment factor. I don't know.
I didn't find it entertaining.
Let me not point fingers. it failed in that department then.
They've
had a lot of stinkers recently.
Yeah, I just think, why have you not put a VSC? Because then it neutralises everything and then whip out the safety car, which also, can I say, shout out for safety car, in the sense of we haven't had one this year yet. So that was nice.
Really?
We haven't had one, have we? No, we had VSCs only, I'm sure.
No, I'll take your word for it. I'm just surprised that it got
Can
to
you
race
tell me
race
when
fast.
There was
so
a
right.
safety car last? I don't think we've seen that one out there.
I'm not fighting it. But
no, I know,
I'm just
but
surprised.
I'm the same. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't.
They won in Saudi because Stroll crashed.
I feel like we haven't had a safety car, but I don't know. Now you're making me doubt. But I just felt like we haven't seen one.
I can't actually remember. Anyway, before we're doing some research there, how many points did we get in the predictions? I got 3.
I also got 3.
Oh, I got 2.
Oh, it's a shared point for Jay and I.
Don't sigh.
Dan,
at least you got one.
Dan in the lead.
I will let you know in 1 second.
I know. I'm writing it down.
I've won.
So, Jay, you are on... No, Jay, we're both on 3.
On 3? Oh, yeah, I won the second one, didn't I?
Bahrain, then you joined Saudi with me, and now you've joined China with me. So we're both on 3, and Shah is on Uno.
Yes!
Oh, no.
To be fair, last season I started well, and by Europe I was shocking, so...
Yeah,
momentum is a big thing.
Right, Miami is mine, guys. You heard it here first.
Yeah,
this is my
Miami.
Time
What's
to shine. What's my thoughts on Miami?
As a sprint destination as well.
It's a sprint weekend?
Sure it is,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is.
God. Not great. I don't think Miami's the best, and I just think it's that classic overhyped American vibe. I'm not buzzing for it, put it that way.
Is it the Coachella of Formula One races? Or was that Monaco?
What?
I feel like Sean might get what I mean by
I do
Coachella.
Know what you mean.
I know what you mean. It's just random.
but I know what you mean. Yeah, it could be. I'm trying to think of this Monaco, but I think Monaco is almost... Oh, no.
It's got history, Monaco. That makes it a bit more like... I can tolerate it more because it's been around
for long.
Yeah,
for me, Monaco's different. Yeah. Hmm. I would actually like to go Coachella in general, though.
Fair enough. We can
it's not muddy.
Crowdfund or something.
It's just, you know, I like that idea of a festival where it's just not muddy and it's nice weather. And it's, yeah.
That defeats the point.
I digress.
Anyway, side note, that is all we've got time for on the podcast today. Do you two have any final thoughts before we finish?
Do actually, I do.
We don't.
I want to say that if Guan Yuzhou parked like that in central London, he'd be getting
a
ticket.
Oh my gosh. So hey, mate. Get over it. Let the man enjoy his moment he's been working years for. He went as a kid in the stands. He's now the only Chinese driver on the grid. I can't even think who the last one was. Let him have his moment.
He's the first, and he's the first. No, I like that he got his moment. Yeah, he's the first Chinese driver.
Oh, well, there you go then. Stop moaning. No,
there's ways to give people a moment. And
he was so emotional.
Right, Jay, let's just put this to bed. What would you have liked the Chinese Grand Prix to have done for him to celebrate this momentous occasion?
Maybe during the driver's parade. I mean, maybe they've done this already. They put him in like a classic Chinese car and had him go around by himself so everyone could give him a big clap and show him some love.
Not everyone sees that parade, Jay.
Well, who doesn't see it? What, telly?
Yeah.
Well, end of the day, if you're on telly, then you can't even show him love, can you? Because you're not there to say, well done, Joe.
That's horrible.
No, I'm not going to be horrible.
Savage, Joe.
I think Joe's actually probably a very nice person. Do you know, and my issue isn't with Joe, it's with the people who organised it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I
liked it too. I think it's very sweet. And for him to be the first Chinese driver, we haven't been to this track for 5 years. I think that was a very nice thing. And they do it every year, Jay, then I'll agree. They can calm down. But I think this year, go on then.
I don't think he'll be there next year to do it anyway, so at least
right.
I can sit.
That's okay. Another conversation.
That's
another conversation.
Is he going to be there next year?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. No. God forbid he goes to the grid. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. It's been a while, so we're glad to be back. We will be back, of course, to preview or review Miami. I'm not really sure. We're going to go in VAR, the Japan prediction, so these two know that I'm not making it up. Give us 5 stars on Spotify. Follow us on Twitter or X or Instagram or whatever anything's called now. And yeah, we will see you very, very soon. Jay and Shah, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Shah.
Cheers, y'all. Thank you for listening. We'll see you later. Goodbye.